You have your Bible, turn with me to Romans chapter 6, verse 23, a very familiar passage of Scripture. It says, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord." The character of sin. I think the great scourge of the human race is not cancer. It is not crime, it is not even war, but it's an unseen enemy that we call S-I-N. Few people realize the power of sin or their hopelessness before it. Through the centuries, sin has claimed its victims by the millions. There are many today that mock sin. Some try to deny the very existence of sin, and few truly understand the seriousness of sin. Everyone can see the effect of sin. In fact, most folks in the business world have heard of Murphy's Law. It is a principle that says that if anything can go wrong, it probably will. Why is it that things so often seem to go wrong in life? Life is not always easy, is it? Disease, misery, poverty, death, crime, heartache, war, they all touch our lives at one time or another. Everybody has problems. I'd like to ask you this morning, is there anyone here that's never had a problem? I think all of us understand what it is to have problems in this life. And it's been that way ever since the fall of man into sin. The good old days are always in the past. You hear folks talking about all the good old days. But if we looked at the good old days objectively, we would probably decide that they weren't near as good as we thought them to be. But with all of the technical progress that has been made in this life, it has done very little to help us to combat the problems of fear, of war, of lust, of hatred and pride. Man has reached out for happiness only to find that the perfect life that he has so sought for seems to slip farther and farther away. The problem is pointed out in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 4. It says, "The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked, who can know it?" His own heart is the source of evil desires, of hatred, of deceit, and pride. And it has been that way since Adam's sin. We go to almost any lengths to keep from recognizing the fact of sin. We pretend that it's not there. We sometimes laugh and scoff at the thought of sin. But sin has made our world a place of chaos, of pain and sorrow. It has spawned many wars. It has created violence and family problems and all kinds of frustrations. Sin is a destroyer of man's hopes, of his dreams and happiness. Yet so few of us know really the true nature and the character of sin. So I want to point out three viewpoints this morning about sin to help us to understand the character of sin and what we're up against, what sin is, what sin does, and what sin cannot do. Well, what sin is. Webster defines sin as an offense against God. It is a misdeed or fault, a transgression of the law of God. The Encyclopedia Britannica gives 22 pages to the subject of anthropology. One half a column to sin. For the most part, the world would like to simply just deny the existence of sin or sweep it under the rug and forget it forever. It is looked upon as an infringement of a petty rule or regulation. We view sin as a disgusting kind of behavior, the kind that you see down on Skid Row, where the derelicts are, where the murderers are, where the child molesters, the criminals, where they all are, but not people like us. What is sin? It is a deliberate decision to do or to say or to think my own way rather than God's way. It's to do my own thing rather than do what God has said. It is a departure from the will of God. It is an expression of a rebellious attitude toward God. That's what sin is. Sin says, I reject God's right to tell me what to do. I'll do what I want to do. I will control my own life. I am in charge of me. Reminds me, in Matthew chapter 22, it talks about the king invited folks to come to the marriage feast of his son. And he sent out the invitation, invited folks to come, but they rejected. They made light and even killed those that were coming, inviting them to come. And the king sent out his army and destroyed them and their cities. He told his servants, go out into the highways and invite everybody else to come that will come. And so they go out and they invite folks to come and the wedding feast is full. The king comes out, he looks at the crowd. And he sees in that crowd one that is mean and vile in his eyes, and he does not have on the wedding garment. And the king says, why have you come in here and not put on the wedding garment? You hear folks a lot of times say, well, when I stand before God, if I'm in sin, still in sin, I'll just stand there before God and I'll take my punishment like a man. I'll look him in the eye. But the Bible said he was speechless. And I'm convinced that he was looking down. He could not look into the eyes of the king. And the king said, why do you not have on the wedding garment? Then the king said, cast him into outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. He had a choice. He had a choice. And he made that decision in his life that I'm going to do what I want to do. You say, well, Carl, maybe it is that he didn't have the money to buy it. No, no. You see, when you go to the king's wedding of his son, the robes are provided. All you've got to do is put them on. It's a choice. Sin began with a revolt in heaven. Lucifer, a being that God created without sin, determined in his heart that he would exalt himself above the Lord God. It says in Isaiah 14, verse 13 and 14, thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the throne of God. I will sit on the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High. know two things about sin. Sin is an assertion of self-will. Look at the number of times that he says, I will. He says, I will exalt. I will sit. I will ascend. I will be like the Most High. A deliberate assertion of his own will over the will of God. Brother, that's what sin is. It's when God tells you and me, do something, and we don't do it. Now, I know, and I don't want to upset anybody, but I know, as the Bible said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, that means you ought not to do it. It's not a mistake. It's a sin. He said, bring you all the tithe into the storehouse of the Lord, and you don't do it. It's not a mistake. It's a sin. He tells you to go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. You don't do it. It's not a mistake. It's a sin. You see, I'm convinced that we sometimes don't understand what we're dealing with here when we talk about sin. It's not that we choose to do what we want to do. We're to love everybody. We're to act right. We're to do right. And if we don't, it's a sin. Well, sin is that assumption of divine right. Lucifer's statement says, I will be like the Most High God. It reveals what was truly in his heart. He wanted to be his own God. He did not want to obey God. Brethren, I know that people sometimes think about sin as being optional. It's no big deal if I don't do right in God's eyes. Well, it'll be a big deal when we stand before God on the judgment day. It'll be a big deal when God tells us, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I do not know you. Now, that's a big deal. And I can tell you that man at the wedding feast that got tossed out on his ear into outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, and the Bible talks about hell as being a place of outer darkness. The contrast. Jesus exemplified the exact opposite in his attitude. The Bible said he sought not his own will, but the will of the Father. Now, what does God want? He wants me to do the will of the Father. I want to please him. He prayed, not my will, but thine be done. He gave up all of his rights as being the Son of God. And he said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. He condescended, gave up his divine rights. He chose to make himself a servant. I choose to be what God wants me to be. I want to be more sensitive to the will of God for my life. I know that I'm just passing through. And brethren, life is fragile. It's fragile. Been to 3 funerals this week. Got another one coming up with Brother Rondy's brother coming up next week. Folks are dying. And it's not always somebody else. We have got to be ready for that time when the Lord says it's enough. So what is sin? It is that in every man that makes him want his own way. Ye shall be as gods. Sin is not merely the breaking of some arbitrary rule. It is a direct challenge to the will of God. One said, I don't understand why Adam and Eve, when they tasted of that fruit, we've always said it's an apple, but when they tasted of that fruit, that they were kicked out of the garden. But I cannot see why it was an offense that was guilty of death. You know what it was? Same thing that Satan did. Same thing. The devil comes and said, now you can go ahead and eat of that fruit. It's all right. You won't die. God knows that in the day that you eat thereof, your eyes will be opened. You'll be just like God. You'll know good and evil. It was the same thing as Adam and Eve did. They wanted to be like God. They wanted to usurp the authority of God. They wanted to do their own thing. It was a disobedience to the will of God in their life. The Bible said, all we like sheep have gone astray. Well, what does sin do? It makes a body subject to sickness, doesn't it? You know, I wish we didn't have any sickness. And people sometimes question, why do we have all this sickness and pain, and even good folks have it? Yes, they do. They'll continue to have it. I'm here to tell you that the reason is inherent sin. Sin, when it came into the world, it brought about death. It brought about pain and discomfort and all of those things. But it's our ticket to heaven too, isn't it? Isn't that good news? I mean, one of these days, the Lord's going to say it's enough, and I've got loved ones on the other side. You do too. And I won't be a stranger, and neither will you. And when we come and look into the eyes of him that went to the cross of Calvary and died for our sins, we'll bow down before him and say, praise God for your salvation. Praise God for your deliverance from sin. Praise God that I'm a child of the King. God said, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. And thou shalt eat of the herbs of the field in the sweat of thy face. Thou shalt eat bread till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. You see, you're just passing through. It's hard to imagine that one day that we're going to turn back to dust. That's all you are, just a bunch of dust. That's all we are. But praise God, when he breathed that life into that dust, oh, what a difference it made. We became a living soul, and the soul of a man will never, ever die. Oh, we're going to lay down this robe of flesh, and I don't mind that because I know I won't stop being. Isn't that good news? I mean, you come to the place in your life that you die and people weep, and we all do because of that association and our love for them and that house that housed them for all of those years. But I'm here to tell you that they're just as alive today, in fact, more so than they've ever been. Oh, he's alive, John. He's alive. and you breathe your last breath here, the next breath is there. You don't die. You don't die. You just keep on living. You just change locations. And I've gone from this temporal home to my eternal home, and I am going to rejoice in that day that I get to go and be in the presence of my Lord, and I will bow down. I will worship Him. I will thank Him for saving my soul. Amen. Amen. Sin will take you further than you ever intended to go. It'll make you pay more than you ever thought you could pay, but there's more. Sin will begat more sin. It will begat more death and more heartache and more pain. You see, the first child would become the first murderer, and sin would be passed down to the human race. The Bible said, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Let me share an example with you, and then I'll close. Once an apartment building caught on fire, and it was an 8-story building. And on the 7th floor of that building, a young girl was trapped in her bedroom. Mom and dad had been rescued by the fire department. And the fire was burning in the wind so rapidly. And they were afraid the building, they could not put the fire out. And they were afraid the building was going to collapse. And they set up nets in order to get folks to jump into it for safety. And so one by one, folks began to jump, but this little girl on the 7th floor, she wouldn't jump. She was scared, and the fire was burning, and they were afraid the building was going to collapse under her feet, and they had just seconds to spare. Finally, as the fireman tried in vain to get her to jump, the daddy asked the fireman if he would step aside and let him try. And the daddy hollered up to the young girl, and she saw Daddy. She saw his face. And Daddy said, honey, if you'll jump, I'll catch you. Go ahead and jump. That's all she needed. She jumped out of that window and jumped into the net because she trusted Daddy. Jesus Christ says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. You do the jumping. God says, I'll catch you. I'll catch you. When a person jumps to Him in faith, that's all that it takes. He's there to catch you and to cleanse you, to wash you white as snow, make you a new creature in Christ Jesus. And your name can be recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. How wonderful it is when we know that we know that we know where we're going to spend eternity. Do you know this morning? Sin's a killer. But Jesus says, come, I'll give you life. Not a whole lot of choice there, is there? Choose Jesus this morning. Let's bow for prayer.